Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Michelle Berquist, your host, who's living in the COVID-19 pandemic right now with my leading lady, and we're here to share some really important information today. So I'm delighted to introduce our topic today, which is collaborating in the cloud. And I don't know about all of you as listeners, but, you know, with what's going on in the economy and with business and in our world right now, this is an important topic because so many of us now are remote workers or we're at home because of the stay-at-home initiative with the pandemic. So our leading lady today is a smarty pants technology expert, and I'm delighted to introduce Francine Otterson. She's the owner and technologist at Service Desk West. So Francine, say hello to all of our listeners.
Hello, everyone. And thank you.
Like you're talking to a vast group of people. Yeah, I'm excited to have you on the phone. Talk about timing right now with technology and what's happening, you know, with the world that, you know, literally everybody, schools have gone remote, right? They've gone virtual.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, businesses, you know, moms are taking care of the kids from school remotely now. I mean, this whole, you know, virtual thing is crazy. But, you know, I know I want to talk a little bit about how do you, you know, can really collaborate better in the cloud. Because I know you are, if I'm right, Microsoft certified engineer, right? You're technology people and you guys know all this.
Yes, we do. That's correct. Yes.
Well, I love it. What are some of the changes going on right now with how to collaborate and, you know, better productivity and mobility?
There, a lot of these things have already been in place for a very long time, but now there's a, obviously, there's been much more of a need, an immediate need to use them. And we like to look at it as imagining your workplace without walls or limits. But even different now is that you have to imagine them with walls but with no limits because you have to stay in separate places. But, you know, some of the collaboration things that we look at for, like, a modern workplace is, you know, being able to work from anywhere on any device seamlessly. Obviously using things like Zoom, Google Chats, Teams. But it's not just working, collaborating on documents, which is on a live document as well, but being able to connect with people on a video chat, screen sharing. Because the more you can do that, the more people can still build those relationships up. So that's what kind of things that we look at. And there's many tools out there. Like you just said, we work a lot with Microsoft. But we also gear our technology solutions to fit each business. But Teams, Microsoft, a lot of people are using Zoom right now. The goal is to make sure that people stay connected and be able to collaborate online on live documents. That's where we want to get to all our clients to.
I love that. You know, and I'm curious with, you know, the COVID-19 and what's happening with business. I mean, from what you've seen with your clients and just, you know, from a technological, you know, perspective as a technology company, how prepared, you know, just in general, or maybe just your, you know, what your perspective is, how prepared were businesses to shift virtually? Or was it, I mean, are you finding, you know, some companies were really prepared and others are really scrambling and it's been tough? Or, you know, with some of your clients, were they ready to go and it was a seamless process? I mean, share what you've seen just with this COVID-19 process and how people have migrated virtually and to collaborate better.
Well, I'm proud to say that our clients, with a few adjustments for some, for their, like, their hand, their on-premise staff that they do like hands-on manufacturing. You know, we can't put that in the cloud if they're doing, they're machinists. But anything with having to do with the business operations and those staff, they hit the ground running because 99% of our clients are on Microsoft 365. And we did that because of business continuity, being able to work from anywhere, to collaborate. Now, they would say, well, how often are we going to use this? Well, I said, you know, when you're out and you are in Hawaii at your on a business trip and you need that document immediately or you need to do a live co-author of a document, it's easy for you to do it. So they were using it. And when the pandemic hit and they had to be in separate locations, they said, oh, my gosh, there's been, like, no change in our business. You know, we had to make some adjustments.
Wow.
And some people had to buy some computers because, you know, their staff didn't have a work computer at home, so they bought them some computers. We had to kind of – that had to be done very quickly because there was a big influx in ordering equipment, like webcams and laptops, because they didn't have – their staff didn't have them at home.
Oh, right.
Yep, but
I didn't
other
even
than
think
that,
about
even,
that, but I'll bet there was it was like toilet paper,
mm-hmm.
right? People were buying it like crazy.
Yeah, webcams were like, okay, you know what? I said, but you
oh
know
my
what?
God.
We're your IT, but we have actually a backup camera here for you. There you go. You know, so we those kind of things were unexpected. A couple of our other clients that we've said the larger ones where they actually have a backup system, an extra system in place just for emergencies. So those, they just took that one home. But that's like doing our due diligence. But, yeah, but some clients, when I've gotten calls, like referrals on Facebook or on Thumbtack or just somebody, hey, can you help my friend here has a business recently? It's like, yeah, we have nothing in place. What can we do on the quick? Okay. And then we set things like OneDrive and set up an Office 365 account and get them up and running quickly. But, yeah, so some clients.
What are some of the things that – I know you said there are some businesses that shouldn't be that way, and I love that there's those extremes, right? And then I never even thought of that there'd be a run on webcams and all of that, but that totally makes sense, right, as a result of the COVID-19. You know, it's interesting because I've heard conversations, Francine, where people are saying, you know, now that we've gone virtual, right, the genie's kind of out of the bottle for business. And I'm curious, you know, as someone who's in, right, the technology space, it's like, do you feel businesses now will go back to then their brick and mortar facilities, or will, you know, like, what's going to be trending as we come out of COVID-19 for, you know, virtual work and collaboration?
There's already a trend for the remote workspace, or we would call it like the modern workplace, where you can have either people on premise because some places require that. Okay, just by the nature of what they're doing. But as, like you said, there's going to be a before and after COVID-19. I was just talking to my daughter about that, actually, that you'll find that schools now have a backup plan for online learning, that it will be there in place. Businesses will say, you know what, this is a horrible situation we're in, but we're going to keep these things in place. And as time goes on, there will be a return on investment for them because they're going to find that they can expand their workforce. More can be done with less employees, or an employee can focus on more with less, if you will, because not tied to their desk. They have more flexibility in their time. They can have an online meeting and co-author a document, like I said earlier, with somebody in another state, another country. So it becomes, like I said earlier, limitless. There's so much you can do when you're in a modern workspace. So do I think that's a trend? Absolutely. Will things go back to the way they were? Some companies will, to be honest. They will just stop doing what they're doing for the month or two. But a lot of companies, as the trends have already shown before COVID-19, that more and more things are being modernized to have those no time, no limits, work when you need, work where you need. It's more about getting the job done, doing it well to allow to be creative and innovative in your business and not be stifled by the old school kind of you must be 8 to 5 in a brick and mortar kind of building. So, yes, I definitely think it will be changing.
And, you know, it's funny because I came from commercial banking. And, you know, for me and my corporate career, if we call it that, was interesting because I, you know, grew up as an eyeball manager, right? You had people in front of you, you'd hand folders and pieces of paper, and you'd have, like, you know, in-person meetings. And now, it, you know, we went virtual even for our team in CWI, and I love it. I mean, you know, we have Zoom calls for staff meetings every week. It's like I think the hardest thing was getting there, you know, and I'd love for you to share some tips, maybe that if there are businesses out there, which I know there are in our listening audience, that they're like, hey, we're not virtual or we're not prepared for this. What are some things that businesses can do to, I guess, maybe step by step, or is it just you got to rip the Band-Aid off and be virtual the next day? Because, I mean, getting into the clouds is tough a little bit for some businesses, right?
Oh, sure. No, first, I want to put this out, that if anybody ever wants to know, I'll share some tips, too, on the radio, of course. But also, they can also give us a call, and we are happy to give some guidelines as well. And we don't charge for consulting or anything. It's like, hey, you know, call us up, shoot the breeze with us, ask some questions. That we provide that. So that's one option for everybody. And what we do is we look at first you need to see where your business is at and see if you already have something in place. I know that sounds kind of like, well, how would we not know? But believe it or not, there's probably more than you think that we've gone to businesses where an IT company was already in there and they set them up on Office 365 already. And they just didn't know it because that's where the emails were. And they just aren't aware of it. And they're not utilizing what they already have. And it's happened frequently. Like, but you already have this. Oh, wait, that has all this. So sometimes they already have things in place. And then we take it step by step. You know, you want to get your basic communication. Make sure your emails are centralized. Something like on Microsoft 365, which is where, as you said, I'm versed in. We want to make sure that everybody can have a shared calendar. Contacts can be shared. You can get that basic communication on all your devices. We do that first, okay? Then you want to do your next thing is your documents. You want to make sure those are in centralized location and backed up. So we would move those over to the OneDrive that's on Microsoft 365. And all this is included in that package, which is, besides initial setup, it goes anywhere from $6 to $12 a month for individual users. It's for the amount of applications you get and functionality you get, it's almost like a no-brainer. It's like, why wouldn't you do it kind of thing. So then we get the data in place. Once that's done, everybody can access the data, and the permissions are in place, and, of course, security first. Then we move on to things like Teams for collaboration and chatting and webinars and video chats. So you just do it step by step. And you make sure my suggestion, too, if somebody's doing this on their own, is that you don't want to go from one step to the next step until everybody is on board and knowledgeable with the first step, because it becomes too convoluted and people get lost in the shuffle. I was just actually having a conversation with my daughter, who was teaching my other daughter. Like, you take it step by step.
Right. You know, I mean, it's interesting because do you see a lot, Francine, like I know even for us, we use Office 365, and but then you have pieces and parts that are kind of, let's say, outside the family. You know what I mean? Like we're really heavy Dropbox users. Yeah. And I'm just curious, when you have clients, I mean, I know you want to get it all in the family, but it's painful to migrate to the one thing. Like, what would be some tips you would give for those of us that have these wonky additional things, you know, that are outside of the platform maybe that's cohesive together? Because I didn't even know there was Teams. And I was like, wow, and we've been on Zoom, you know, we've been on Zoom for a long time. So how would you integrate that if you're kind of lock solid on certain things and lock solid on others?
Well, I usually take the approach with my clients and potential clients of answering the question of why. What is a reason? And there could be a valid reason that if you have a solution here that you're already paying for and say, you know, your Teams is on there, your email's on there, you're utilizing those, but your Dropbox is, you're on Dropbox for your documents. Then I'm going to ask to say, let's make sure this is a right business decision for you to stay on Dropbox or whatever it is, okay, as opposed to moving into one solution. If there's a valid reason to stay on it, for a business reason, because sometimes it's just a comfort level. And I said, well, we just got to rip that Band-Aid off, okay? If it's only because for comfort, well, in the long run, it's going to be better because it's going to be more cohesive for you to be on one solution that works seamlessly. But if somebody is on Dropbox and you have staff, or it doesn't have to be Dropbox, it could be any other solution too, Google Docs, Dropbox, then we need to make sure everybody is on that same solution so documents can be shared and easily accessed. That's the key thing, is have the business run efficiently, is to have documents accessible to those that need it when they need it.
Got it. Got it. I know you've been in business a long time. I mean, if you wouldn't mind, share kind of a success story of, you don't have to say who the business was, but
sure.
Do you have like a success story of a client where it's like you helped them and what was the problem and, you know, how did you get them to kind of be collaborating better and more productive through technology?
Oh, sure. I have more than one, but I'll just share one.
I want to hear two scenarios then. I love this because I know, hearing examples are where we go, oh my God, I need to do this.
Yeah.
But let's hear one for sure.
I had a client, actually not that long ago, that had wanted they just wanted email set up, whatever it was. Okay. And this was probably when it first, like a couple years ago. And when we take the approach of setting up any sort of software solution or anything, we do business analysis first. We want to see what are your processes, what are your procedures, as opposed to some organizations, some IT companies might just say, okay, you want email, we're going to put it in. Well, we actually do our business analysis and see, okay, what is it you need and why, because we want to make sure you have the right solution. So as I was reviewing everything and put the email program in place, well, we found there's a lot of redundancies. I should say email, Office 365 in place. There was a lot of redundancies. They had multiple email accounts, multiple calendars, and so we cleaned that up. That was easily done. But as we're looking at the processes, as I said, we found a lot of redundancies and documents in multiple locations. So by the time we cleaned up their emails into there's patients emailing, well, not patients, but clients, excuse me. But the way they were doing it, the emails would come in, but two people would be monitoring and doing them at the same time, but in two different mailboxes. So there was a lot of redundant work. So we centralized that and called it, gave them a generic customers at such and such. So there's one mailbox. There was no more arguments of who did this and who did that. So that helped the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Then we noticed that the client information was everywhere, two different computers, on the server, on a database. So we streamlined that, put into OneDrive, put this is a customer one, this is past customers, this is pending, here's your pending projects. Teams wasn't out then yet enough to put it into their place. Give them a location to manage your task by putting categories in, who was assigned what. Then we did analysis 2 months later, and the owners, both of them said, we on average stay about 2.5 hours a day. And there's no more fighting. Just by streamlining the document and the information. That's all it took. And
Do you get the sense that people, that if you're either a PC user many times or you're a Mac user, right, for business?
Oh, yes, definitely. Yeah.
Do you find that I had no idea, and again, we're Microsoft Office users. Do you find that most people don't have a clue about all the different programs that are in Office 365?
Oh, absolutely. I honestly could spend probably every day just doing Office 365, just doing Office 365 only. The amount of training I can do on it, the technical support I can do on it, the administration, and just showing people what it is, just a review of it. Yet there's so much that you have given, well, that you pay for that small amount each month that's in that package, and probably half of it's used, maybe. Some people,
wow.
There's so much from bookings to Delve to Stream to, that's just the top three. Teams, OneNote. I love OneNote, so.
I do
so,
know
yeah,
you love OneNote,
so
and you. I
yes.
need to learn OneNote. because we use Evernote. And, you know, you get used to things. And I'm like, I hate that because we need to merge them together, you know, so that the whole system works better. But like I said, it's hard to migrate once you get used to something.
You know, I will tell you this, if this helps. I have never in 20, how many years I've been in business now? I've been doing consulting for 25 years, so I've been in business like 15 years, I guess. That when I have people do a migration, and there's been some hard-sold migrations, let me tell you. But once I have them do it, and of course we base it on their unique business needs, and we clarify why that's needed. And we don't move forward until everybody understands why and what is the purpose, okay? And I'm like, yep, it's going to be painful. Yep, that band-aid's going to come off. But then it gets to heal. And then by the time we're done, they're always like, wow, I'm so glad I did this.
Wow.
I really have I've never had a client ever come up and say, you know what, put it back. Like, I'll put it back, sure. I won't charge you. I'll just put it back where you wanted it. We've never had that happen.
I love it. I love it. I mean, you're so funny because you geek out on technology, and I love that about you. And it's like, I'm curious for our listeners. Can you kind of share? I mean, how did you get into this business? I mean, it's you and your husband, right? You guys are husband and wife business?
Actually, no. Well, he actually had his own business, an IT business. I had my own. This is my own business. We work together, though, on it. And so, like, he'll have some projects. But right now, yeah, he's at a project working at Service Desk West with me.
Okay.
So where did I get started? Actually, I was doing IT support when I was working at Cal Poly Pomona University when I worked there. And I was just, like, kind of go-to IT person, but that wasn't my job. I just did it. I just kind of came naturally to me. And then I just always did it. And then I was in college, and I met I left that company, met Roger, and he actually hired me, my husband, to start and run a help desk. Okay, so I did. So I started and ran a help desk. And three and a half is kind of weird to say, corporate level IT help desks. And I've managed IT help desks, implemented them, managed them. So I have a lot of, which is what I bring to my clients too, because I have a lot of background in the enterprise level as well as consulting, as well as being a business owner. So I have the gamut. I have a lot of different background experiences. So anyway, one day I was talking to Roger, and, you know, like I said, he was my manager, and he said, and then we got married and all that good stuff, right? After, but anyway, he said, why aren't you getting your, because my senior year and my bachelor's, said, why are you not getting an IT degree in information technology? I said, you know, I don't know. He says, well, you do it all the time and you like it. I'm like, well, I was going to go for an accounting degree. And he said, do you want to be an accountant? I said, no. So I started with my degree in my information technology, moved up into management in the corporate sector, and then I was always doing consulting. I have a lot of background, actually, if you don't know this already. My bachelor's degree is in information technology with networking and a minor in database administration. I have a lot of experience with access databases. So I also do that on the side, not the side. I do that part of this business as well. So then I started doing consulting with access databases.
Every time I peel back the layers of you, I learn more things, which is really fun because I do know you. You get excited over Office 365 because we did some work with you, and I loved it. And I know, you know, we've got a few minutes left, Francine, but how, you know, if people want to reach out to you and, you know, you be that help desk for other businesses, and, you know, if any of our listeners want to contact you, how would you like people to reach you, if you don't mind sharing?
Oh, no, they can share. Reach out to me at francine@servicedeskwest.com. They can reach out to me, send me a Zoom invite as well. But just email is perfect. They can also call me at 858-754-9430. And some people have sent me Facebook chats as well, messengers.
Love it. Hey, I want, you know, here's going to be my big question for you, you know, kind of wrap it up. I'd love for you to kind of think of, you know, the future And it's like, I'd love to have you share what you know that's going to be trending of what we can anticipate in the office of the future. Like, will it really be that we ever get rid of paper? Like, you know, we talked about in the 70s and the 80s. And it's
just,
like,
no, that won't
you
happen.
Know, I think it will never happen. Darn. I keep hoping.
There'll be a lot less, but it won't be completely gone.
Darn. I wish we could just get rid of paper.
Though.
But, you know, kind of,
right.
What are some trending things that are happening with technology that, you know, maybe you might know that are coming down the pike or, you know, that's exciting about the office and the workforce of the future? Anything?
You know, mostly it would be the online conferencing, the ability to truly to collaborate online documentation, to video chat, to have a whiteboard. There's also a lot of things going on, and this is not my forte at all, but there's a lot of things going on in marketing and Facebook and Pinterest and about being able to add in videos and do live things there. So a lot of things are going on in that area, too, that make things more interactive, a lot more collaboration in that area. So that's definitely growing.
Wow. Wow. I know I was at, because we're in the event business, right? You're a part of Connected Women of Influence. And I was on an event industry Zoom call, of course, and they were talking about just how conferences will be hosted online and you can do the small breakout sessions just like you would in a hotel, but of course you're virtual.
Yeah.
I mean, people were even talking about having food delivered, you know, for the event, you know, for the attendees. And so you're eating where you're at individually, but I was like, wow, that's kind of different. You know, we are disconnected, but we're connected, you know, and I think it's just
the way
amazing where we are. And go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say the one thing trending and what's going to change is the way meetings are held, the way events are held, conferences are held. That's just going to make such a huge difference. That's trending. That's going to be so different moving forward. When you're in a virtual meeting, it allows you to sit there at your desk, take your notes, interact with people live, but have your space at the same time and save time driving, but still be able to interact. It doesn't mean that live things will be going away, but those will be saved for when they're more special and needed, or they'll be made more special. Because you're doing those only when necessary, not for every meeting. You have to go drive somewhere, go sit somewhere, and take, okay, that just took an hour from driving here, and we're sitting here for 30 minutes. So, but I think that's definitely going to be coming. It's one of the major changes.
I'm excited, and I'm kind of like unsure about it, you know, because of it. It's been fascinating to see how people, you know, have engaged online. I've sat in on, you know, a birthday party, or, you know, a remote birthday party. Somebody else I know in our association said they attended a virtual wedding. You know, unfortunately, with that comes a virtual funeral. I mean, oh, wow, it's just, you know, and this is obviously
crazy times. I don't want to go too far on
this,
though.
Right.
This is a crazy time. Exactly.
I know that you have some recommended apps just for business and fun, and I don't think we can get enough apps. But what are some of your favorite apps that you might recommend for us as business women or just for fun?
Sure. Well, the ones we just went through, Microsoft 365 with OneNote and Teams, of course. There's also Microsoft To Do is very much worth looking into for keeping track of your basic tasks and mini projects. There's also, and I think I just said OneNote, the other ones I like that have been very, very wonderful for me is an app called Fabulous for mindset and habit building. Highly, highly, highly recommend that. And the newest one I've been using is Calm for sleep and meditation. I highly recommend those two.
Ooh, I don't know those two. I know
one
of my favorite apps that works with Office 365 is the To Do, because they bought Wunderlist, right? So I was on Wunderlist, but man, I love it because I have it on my phone. I just put in a little tab.
I love it.
Doesn't mean I would get
it
done, but it does keep me organized.
Yep. I have on my to-do, I have a list of things I do every single morning that I must do. And I just have right there, I just check mark it every morning because it's reoccurring. And it just keeps me right on track. And the other thing I want to
share with you. Does it feed into your Outlook calendar, the to-do?
Yes, it does. It feeds into your Outlook tab.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Or you can look at it separate or together. And the other thing I want to tell Steve, too, before the session ends, is that for everybody to be aware of, if they're not already, that the Windows 7 and Office 2010 have reached end of life. So that means that security and feature updates will no longer be available. So it's very important that they get upgraded to, usually it's going to be Windows 10, and to the newest Office, which is another reason and an incentive to go to the modern Office and to go to Office 365 and get the latest Office and everything else. But just be aware, Windows 7 and Office 2010 have reached end of life.
I have to admit, I'm always surprised when I hear any business that is still downloading software on their computers.
Right.
Just because with Office 365, you can be, literally, I can be on my desktop 1 minute, you know, head out in the car, go to a meeting, whip open the laptop, have my phone with me, send another email,
yeah.
And they all show, right? I mean, it's amazing that you can have so many devices synced. But you're awesome, Francine. I want to make sure if anybody, wants to reach out, again, your website is servicedeskwest.com, and we will have a link on our show page, so if anybody wants to reach out to you. And then I'm going to make sure we have some more technology sessions that we can get some great advice from you. Well,
thank
awesome.
You.
You've been an awesome leading lady today. say goodbye to our listeners. I want to thank all of our listeners. We love your loyalty. We're an international show now, so we really appreciate you listening in for just wise women, leading ladies, all about business. We'll be here again on every Friday at 2 p.m. and Mondays at 9 a.m. Pacific time. And my kind of challenge to all of you right now is find your calm, stay focused. It is very challenging times, but as we keep hearing, it's like we're going to get through this. So have a great weekend, and we'll see you on the next show.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.